Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining hour of your afternoon is now underway. Coming to you live, as you just heard from my main man, Chayo. Here in Studio West on the campus of Michigan State University on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. We've got a great show coming right at you. As many of you Michigan State men's basketball fans know by now, the biggest news coming out of MSU athletic camp was Nick Ward, Michigan State sophomore, soon to be junior forward. Yeah, he's going to be a junior forward because he is coming back to Michigan State University. He made that announcement yesterday. You know, it's so funny because the deadline is today. And right before we closed out yesterday's current sports, that was our main topic, discussing whether or not Nick Ward would take his talents to the National Basketball Association. What has he been hearing from NBA executives and scouts and coaches and other personnel? Is he going to be drafted? Will he be a second-round draft pick? I think we were all comfortable in saying that Nick Ward is not a first-round draft pick. Well, turns out he didn't like everything that he heard, and he will be returning to try and boost that draft stock after his junior season. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this will probably be the last season that we see Nick Ward in a green and white jersey, so enjoy him. But he's got some things to work on. We'll discuss that story. Also, after that, we'll talk with Brian Calloway. Haven't chatted with Brian in a while. He is the lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Tonight is going to be a fun night, as it has been now for the last few years, seeing as though tonight marks the Lansing State Journal Sports Awards taking place at the Wharton Center right here on Michigan State University's campus. I mean, they do it up for this thing, too. I mean, it is a really high-profile event. I kid you not. It's like the Emmys or the Oscars, but for local mid-Michigan high school sports. They have a red carpet. There is a huge statue of the LSJ Sports Award where you can take a picture in front of it. And, you know, it's an award ceremony. They have categories, and you come up, you accept the award, you can give a speech, and you come wearing Sunday's best. All right? It's a great event. It begins tonight at 8 p.m. The red carpet show will start at 7 p.m. And again, Brian Calloway will get his takes on tonight's LSJ Sports Awards and what goes into planning an event like this. Celebrating high school sports, though, I absolutely love this event. It's one of my favorite of the sporting year. A great way to cap off the high school sports season. And then on the back end of the show, folks, this is a crazy story. And I thought that the whole, you know, Drake and Pusha T beef was really breaking the internet. And then after Pusha T, you know, sends out his response to the Drake diss, a few minutes after that, The Ringer drops a bomb on the sporting world when it comes to Brian Colangelo, who is the Philadelphia 76ers general manager, and Colangelo having at least 5 Twitter burner accounts. It's a wild story. I read the entire story. I read half of it last night. And, you know, it's so long, I took a break and I actually fell asleep. All right? It was past my bedtime. And then this morning, I combed through the rest of it. It's juicy. It is really juicy. Joel Embiid, you know, he weighed in on it. You know, he's one of the faces of, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers franchise. He's nicknamed The Process. He had a very hilarious response to the story. But trust me, you do not want to miss the details of this one. It's one of the most juicy sports stories I've read in a long, long time. All right. So we'll have that while, of course, allowing you all at the same time to be a part of the fun. Multiple ways in which you can join the fun. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. But hey, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Start with the big story coming out of the Michigan State athletics camp, that being Michigan State sophomore guard, well, forward, Nick Ward, making the decision to withdraw his name from the 2018 NBA draft and return to Michigan State for his junior season. Now, Ward didn't receive an invite to the draft combine earlier this month, and he was projected to be a fringe, and I don't say that lightly, a fringe second-round prospect if he declared. He worked out for a handful of teams, including the Thunder, the Knicks, and even the Pistons. He released a statement. Just to read a snippet here, we're going to comb through the entire statement in just a moment, but just to read a snippet here, quote, "It was a great opportunity for me to go through the process, and I'm grateful for the feedback I received from NBA teams. It is my dream to play in the NBA, and I've learned a lot through my workouts and interviews that will help me when I am ready to make that next step. I know what I need to work on, and I'm committed to coming to the gym every day and striving to be the best player I can be." So again, Spartan fans, Nick Ward returning for his junior season at Michigan State University. All right, Michigan State golfers Michael Sharp and Caleb Johnson have been named to the Ping All Midwest Region team. It's the first such honor for Johnson and Sharp. While it marks the second straight year, MSU has had two players named to the all-region team, as Charlie Netzel and Sam Weatherhead garnered the accolade back in 2017. Now, Johnson, a second-team all-Big Ten selection, posted the fifth-best single-season average in program history at 72.62. I wish my golf numbers looked like that. The sophomore had three top three finishes, including his first career tourney win at the Inverness Collegiate at 8 under par, 142, thereafter earning Big Ten Golfer of the Week honors. Now, Sharp, who was also second-team All-Big Ten selection, he recorded the sixth-best single-season average in program history, as his 72.76 was just .14 behind Johnson last season. His 73.95 career average is also the sixth-best in MSU history. All right, the Detroit Tigers lost to the L.A. Angels of Anaheim 9-2 last night at Comerica Park. Michael Fulmer, his night was short, allowing five runs on six hits in 3 2/3 innings of work. Jacoby Jones and Jhonmir Candelario homered for the Tigers, but it wasn't nearly enough. The Tigers and Angels will continue their series tonight at 7:10 p.m. from the D, as Japanese phenom Shohei Ohtani will take the mound for the Angels against Mike Fiers. All right, Shane Battier opted to remain with the Miami Heat front office after interviewing with the Detroit Pistons. Battier had interviewed for a position that would have served under Ed Stefanski. It was speculated that Battier was reluctant to jump into a GM role this early in his executive career. It was also reported that Shane Battier just really didn't feel like uprooting his family from Miami to Michigan as well. So the search continues for a president of basketball operations for the Pistons, as well as a head coach. Time is ticking, though. All right, when it comes to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, The Vegas Golden Knights will host the Washington Capitals tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-seven battle for Lord Stanley's Cup. Puck drop, 8 p.m. Vegas currently owns a 1-0 series lead. A nice little fun fact about the Vegas Golden Knights is that they already have the same amount of Stanley Cup final appearances than the Toronto Maple Leafs since the 1967 expansion draft. I mean, again, historic proportions we're talking about here when looking at what Vegas is doing. Meanwhile, the Capitals are looking for their first win in a Stanley Cup final in franchise history. They are currently 0-5 in Cup final games, and only the St. Louis Blues have a longer losing streak in the final, 0-12. All right, I love this story. This is just a juicy story. This is what a sports talk host just salivate over, right? A juicy story to talk about, to just get you guys intrigued. But just check this out. The Ringer reported last night that Philadelphia 76ers president Brian Colangelo, he used several burner Twitter accounts to further his personal agenda with the franchise. Colangelo confirmed that the several accounts do, in fact, belong to him, but claims he never tweeted from them. And actually, when you read the piece, when the Ringer reaches out to Colangelo, he admits that, yeah, only one is mine. And, you know, I just do that to kind of monitor everything that's going on. I have no idea who the other four belong to. Well, the tweets in question calls out, you know, the 76ers players and personnel, as well as others throughout the NBA. This story has gotten so much traction that the 76ers have released a statement. Just to read the statement here, quote, an online media outlet filed a story linking multiple social media accounts to 76ers president of basketball operations Brian Colangelo. The allegations are serious, and we have commenced an independent investigation into the matter. We will report the results of that investigation as soon as it is concluded. Oh, we'll have more on that. Stay tuned. That'll end our this hour of current sports, as I got some interesting thoughts on that story. And last but not least, Alabama head football coach Nick Saban has made news in recent years for blocking his players from transferring within the SEC conference. And he says he doesn't understand why he has taken so much heat for doing so. Quote, I don't think it should be on me. That's what Saban said during the SEC spring meetings yesterday. Under current SEC policy, players are unable to transfer within the conference without a waiver. If they choose to do so anyway and don't receive a waiver, they must sit out a season before regaining eligibility. I got some thoughts on what Nick had to say concerning blocking transfers within the SEC or any conference for that matter. I think he's trying to hammer his point home. I got some thoughts on that as well. So that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to dial. I see many of you. I see you, Ben. I see you, Joseph, already weighing in, getting right to it, working out those fingers on your keyboards at facebook.com/WKAR News. I'll do my best to get to a few of your comments throughout this hour as well. And if you feel like tweeting me, if you're more Twitter savvy than Facebook savvy, just simply tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's keep it pushing.
think the match went, you know, well. It wasn't an easy match because, I mean, the beginning was so many aces, and I knew that after her first game of serving, I said, okay, I have to serve really well today. I need to really be on my game serving-wise because, you know, there's not going to be a tremendous amount of rallies. I was struggling to get in a little rhythm because it was so much acing. There were so many aces going on. But overall, I was definitely happy with my performance and how I played today. As for the cat suit, the new version 2.0, it's cool. I call it like my Wakanda-inspired, you know, cat suit. It's really fun, although we designed it way before the movie. But still, it kind of reminds me of that. And it was comfortable. I tried it on a couple of times before. Hadn't tried it on in a long time, like over a month. So I was just winging it in the last minute.
All right, just two things I want to get to before we begin this discussion on Nick Ward, who had decided to return for his junior season here at Michigan State University under the leadership of Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball program. I want to give mad props to Serena Williams. You just heard Serena. That was a bite after her win. And again, she has just had a child. I mean, it's amazing watching Serena Williams. We are watching greatness every time we see her take the tennis court. You know, she beat Czech Republic's Kristina Pliskova 7-6, 6-4 at the French Open yesterday. It was her first Grand Slam match since giving birth and really facing life-threatening, you know, postnatal complications in late 2017. And I don't know if you guys have seen the new HBO documentary series that kind of profiles that time. I think it's called something like, you know, Being Serena on HBO. I've seen snippets of it, and I've heard it's absolutely amazing. Actually, one of my good friends of mine, Sherry, she posted this whole, you know, like two-paragraph, you know, synopsis of that documentary saying everybody needs to watch it. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm a big fan of watching documentaries on people that I admire who are just exceptional at what they do, because you can always take a few things from those individuals and implement them to your own grind to get where you're trying to go. And Serena Williams, I've always been inspired by her. I think Serena Williams, when her career is all said and done, she's going to go down as the greatest female athlete of all time. She's unreal. But she also, you know, she looked like a superhero. Did you see this, Ian Hawley? She looked like a superhero yesterday. She had on this black bodysuit. You just heard her say it was inspired by, you know, Wakanda. You know, Wakanda Forever, the Black Panther movie that has swept the entire world. Wakanda-inspired catsuit. And she really did look like a superhero. I mean, watching her out there, you know, moving around with that thing on. I mean, it was just amazing to see her back at this level and winning. I mean, there's not too many people on this earth that can go through what she went through last year and can come right out the gates winning at the French Open. So it's just absolutely amazing to watch her, man. I don't know. Where do you rank her in? Where do you rank her when it comes to greatest female athletes of all time?
She's definitely in the top 10, and I would say in tennis, top 2 or 3 at the very least.
Where's she on your list? If you say top, I think there's no question. I don't know who you can put above her in any sport. I don't know. There's not many names that I would put even in that conversation of Serena Williams. I think she'll go down as the greatest female athlete of all time. She's just such a freak of nature.
There are a couple of winter athletes, some of the Winter Olympic Games, like snowboarding and skiing, that I admire as well. But yeah, I agree. Serena is definitely up there in my top 3.
Yeah, and they're only competing every 4 years. You know what I mean? I mean, Serena's doing this on a yearly basis. I think that trumps your argument as well. I'm sorry, Ian, but no, that's not a good comparison there, brother. You're laughing behind the glass. All right. I also want to note again, there was another story that really caught my eye. Other than the whole Brian Colangelo story, this whole Drake and Pusha T rap battle beef. It's quite amazing. You know, and I was sitting back. I was having numerous conversations with, you know, a lot of the homies and fraternity brothers last night. You know, it really reminds me of sports. You know, if you don't know who Drake, you know, for our seasoned listeners out there, if you don't know who Drake and Pusha T is, just do a quick Google. And these are, you know, Drake, arguably the most popular rapper in the world right now. Pusha T, you know, he was a hot rapper back in the day. You know, I really liked him when he was with a group called The Clips with Pharrell Williams. He's a great lyricist. But anyway, he dropped a CD or album, I should say. No, you call them CDs anymore. He dropped an album. I'm sounding old now, Ian. He dropped an album, and one of the tracks is Infrared, where he just goes at Drake because Drake has been rumored to not have written his own stuff, basically. And it goes at Drake, and then Drake responds, and then Pusha T responded to that track, and it got real personal. It got real, 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 real last night.
It was ugly.
Track.
It was ugly.
It's called The Story of Adidon. And, you know, he comes at, you know, Drake's parents. Then he goes at, you know, Drake having a relationship with an adult film star. And they allegedly had a kid together. And then it just goes at, you know, the cover of it is Drake. He did this photo shoot in blackface. And a lot of people thought the picture was fake, like I did. And I said, no, that can't be real. That's not Drake. And lo and behold, it is. A photographer by the name of David Lays actually did this photo shoot with Drake in his early years. And it's Drake in blackface. Why? I have no idea. But this story sent shockwaves throughout pop culture last night. And that was pretty fun to follow. But this is what hip hop is about. I mean, just being, you know, if you don't understand the culture of hip hop, that's what it's about. Just going at another MC and seeing if you can match me tit for tat. It's like, you know, I'm capping on you. Can you cap on me? And, you know, we'll see who the winner is at the end of the day. You can get as personal as you want in hip hop beefs. That's what a lot of people don't understand watching it from afar. This is hip hop. Anything goes, Ian. Anything goes. So right now I give it, you know, Pusha T is leading right now. If I had to rule a score here, I would say Pusha T, you know, 2, Drake 1.
I would say... See, because part of the Infrared rap wasn't even really aimed at Drake. There were some subliminal disses in there, but it wasn't a straight up, all right, I'm going to go at Drake. You know, he went at Lil Wayne. He went at some other artists as well.
That's all in relation to Drake, because this beef started when Pusha T went at Lil Wayne. And that's the preliminary stages of that beef. And then Drake said, no, you're not going to pick on my daddy, basically, because, you know, he signed with Lil Wayne and his label. And then Pusha said, you really want to go down this route? And then they've been going back and forth ever since. But it's really interesting, man. But so who would you would say?
Pusha T's ahead. Pusha T's definitely ahead. You don't come at Pusha T. His lyrics are way too cold for Drake, especially if it is true that Drake is not writing a lot of his own rhymes. I don't know how he's going to be able to keep this up. You know, he did well with Meek Mill in that battle. Obviously, he won that one. Wasn't even really close.
But that's Meek Mill.
But Meek Mill is not on the same level of lyrical intimacy that a man like Pusha T has been dealing with for a lot longer than Drake's even been in the game, you know?
I'm with you.
I thought the album cover was the best part of that whole thing, because it was basically implying that, you know, Drake is not really black. He's not really involved in the culture. He didn't grow up in the same, you know, conditions.
Argument.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Argument.
I mean, Drake was a childhood TV star.
It's a ridiculous argument. I hate the argument, you're not black enough. Stop it. His dad is black, all right? I just think it's like, you look like a buffoon. You're a coon. I mean, you're out there wearing blackface. I mean, you got some explaining to do, basically.
True. Not necessarily that it was true or not, but it was a good jab, in my opinion. It was well thought out and kind of honestly fortunate that he found that picture from so long ago.
It was really personal. It got really
It was
really
nasty,
personal,
man.
Night.
That was one of the worst diss tracks I've ever heard.
It was really, really nasty. So we'll see. I don't know how Drake responds to that, but that was the other big story that broke last night before this whole Brian Colangelo story. The big story that MSU fans care about, though, is this whole Nick Ward situation. We briefly touched on it to close yesterday's current sports, and this is what we expected, right? I mean, Nick Ward, who just finished up his sophomore campaign with Michigan State men's basketball, as we all know how that season went. arguably Tom Izzo's most talented team, going out in the second round of the NCAA tourney at Little Caesars Arena, virtually a home game. Syracuse stuns everybody. Spartan fans are still upset about it. Jaren Jackson Jr., we kind of figured he was going to leave because he's a guaranteed lottery pick. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to go top five. Miles Bridges, he's going to go anywhere, in my estimation, from 10 to 15. He's going to be a guaranteed top 20 pick. A lot of folks believe that, you know, his stock would have been higher if he would have left after his freshman campaign. But, you know, the odd conversation was really the one concerning Nick Ward, because I don't think I'm speaking for the majority when I'm saying this. I feel comfortable in saying this. A lot of folks looked at Nick Ward as a player who's not ready for the NBA just yet. If he was going to be drafted, it was going to be late second round. He's still got a lot of things to work on. His consistency, you know, is not great. It's up and down. You don't know what you're going to get from Nick from time to time. He stays in the foul trouble early in games, and he has to go to the bench. That was a big bugaboo of his. Don't get me wrong. I never thought that Nick Ward would be the player that he is today. Tom Izzo has noted numerous times that Nick Ward is the most improved player on this roster right now. He's gotten better every single year. I remember Nick Ward coming in a bit chubby. He worked his tail off in the offseason, and he comes back lean, agile, getting up and down the court. Just his improvement. He's shown the ability to improve every single season. So I'm sitting there saying, all right, Nick, if you're not a NBA draft pick, if you're not at least going to go, you know, in the second round, why would you leave? I think you're doing yourself a disservice. If you did leave, you're just going to go to the G League and have to, you know, grind through that and then possibly try and land a roster spot somewhere. So I think Nick heard those same things when he was working out for those, you know, those mentioned teams that I brought up during the current sports quick hit headliners. I'm pretty sure that those NBA execs and coaches told him that, all right, Nick, you got something here, but we're not going to take you that high in this year's NBA draft. He basically heard what he didn't want to hear. He wanted to test the waters, which there is absolutely nothing wrong in doing that. I mean, Nick Ward submitting his name, not hiring an agent, and using that period between March and March, you know, and May 29th, using that time period to work out for teams, to kind of pick the brain of coaches up there in the professional level, to pick the brain, of course, of Tom Izzo. I'm sure Tom Izzo, you know, reached out to his contacts and got opinions for Nick as well. He made the right decision in doing so, because as I noted on yesterday's show, now with Jaren Jackson Jr. being gone, now with Miles Bridges being gone, that kind of frees up some opportunity for Nick Ward to make a splash in the scoring stat sheet. So I think this was a great decision for him. And, you know, I think that Nick Ward is again, he's shown improvement coming into his freshman season. He showed improvement coming from his freshman season to his sophomore campaign. And I have no doubt that Nick Ward is going to continue to get better here, Ian. I'm curious to ask this question to our current sports listeners out there, as well as yourself, Ian. Just how high is the ceiling for Nick Ward? What kind of position could he work himself into this junior year? Can he work himself into, you know, a first round pick, maybe a mid first round pick or a late first round pick? Or is he just going to be a second round pick? I mean, how high is the ceiling for Nick Ward? How much better do you think he can get?
I think he can get astronomically better from here if he develops some kind of shot. You know, he doesn't need to be that stretch forward that stretches it out to the three-point line necessarily, but he definitely needs some kind of mid-range, you know, 15-foot, 18-foot shot to have any chance at landing a high draft pick in the NBA. That's just the way the game is going now, but it's really up to Nick Ward. You know, like you said, he's made improvements before, so I don't doubt him that he can do it again, and I agree with you that staying at MSU was the best decision for him at this point in his career.
And it's going to be an interesting year because, you know, looking at next year's MSU men's basketball roster, I mean, we're going to have some new faces there. I'm excited in particular for one player. You know, Thomas Kithier is the player that I'm looking at that I think can come in and really help out Cassius Winston when it comes to, you know, that point guard role. I mean, Cassius is obviously going to start. Cassius, I think, is the big key to this puzzle, because Cassius, I don't know where that jump shot came from last year. I don't know where it came from. We would talk to Cassius countless times. I mean, at practices and at you know, in the locker room after games. And, you know, Cassius, that is something that he really put a big emphasis on. in the offseason. That jump shot improved tremendously last year. But at the same time, I mean, Cassius did have some turnover problems. And also, I think Cassius, I think he has leadership qualities, Ian. I really do. I think Cassius has shown at times, a skill to kind of rally the troops, you know, to get in the face of certain players and try and motivate them. Thing is, I mean, I don't think he's naturally that way. I think he was trying to force himself into becoming that kind of leader. But at the same time, I mean, Cassius Winston, I think, you know, when he goes and when the stats showed it, when Cassius Winston played well, Michigan State men's basketball won. Simple as that. You know, I remember Tom Izzo at the podium one game, you know, after one game, you know, saying that, yeah, I mean, I think teams are starting to realize that if they cut off the head of the snake, the body will die. The head of that snake is Cassius Winston. So this team is going to go far as Cassius Winston takes them, but it's going to be a luxury, I think. Again, that's why I'm so excited to see, you know, Thomas Kithier, who I watched, you know, play, you know, in the MHSAA postseason. He's a fabulous player. If you have not seen Kithier play, you are in for a treat. I think he can become a very special player for this team, but just having that luxury of Cassius going out and that guard position not completely collapsing is going to be good. However, this team is not going to be the national championship expectation team that we saw last season. You're losing Jaren Jackson Jr. You're losing Miles Bridges. Just competing for the Big Ten is going to be a win for Michigan State next season, Ian.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know, man. Tom Izzo has surprised us before, a la the 2015 Final Four run with Travis Trice. Everybody thought that would be a little bit of a rebuilding year, as we're kind of looking at here with this one. But we got a lot of talented freshmen coming in, Foster Lawyer, Thomas Kithier, just to name a couple. So I don't know. I'm not going to hold out too much hope for a national championship like I did last year.
No, but at the same time,
it wouldn't surprise me if we made a pretty deep run in the tournament with this talented group of guys we got coming in. And now with Nick Ward returning and Cassius staying as well, Josh Langford, I look to make some major improvements this season in consistency. So, the sky's the limit again for Michigan State as far as what they want to accomplish. It's just about how hard they want to work.
Yeah, I just don't know. I think that when you look at next season, I mean, you're losing, what, you know, five-star recruits in Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. Michigan State's incoming recruiting class ranks 11th right now. And that's thanks to the strength of, when you look at just this roster, Ian, and I think, and I'm going to say this as well, I think the pressure is pretty high on Tom Izzo right now. This Michigan State fan base, I mean, we're talking back-to-back years now, where Michigan State has not gotten out of the first weekend of the NCAA tourney. Can you say January, February, Izzo, April anymore?
I don't know, man.
You can't. Let's be real here. You can't. They 2 years now, two straight years, where Michigan State has not gotten out at least the first weekend, Ian.
Well, this has been...
I think the temperament is the leash is very short right now. I'm not saying that Tom Izzo is going to lose his job. He's not. Tom Izzo is going to go out on his own accord here at Michigan State. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the level of expectation and the temperament that Michigan State fans have right now, you got to get out that first weekend at least. I'm not saying, and I think that for the most part, I think this fan base is pretty educated, without a doubt. Michigan State fans are very educated fans, all right? I think that when you look at what they're losing, and again, when you bring in, you know, the youth that they have, is going to be an adjustment period. I don't think Michigan State fans are sitting there saying Michigan State needs to win a national championship next season. They just want to see them get out that first weekend. Getting out of the first weekend of the tourney next year will be a success, and I think it's all going to depend on the leadership of Cassius Winston, and also the progression of a guy like Nick Ward. Also, don't forget about Xavier Tillman, X-Man. I'm expecting him to have a decent year as well next season. But the expectations that we had last season, that's out the window. And I think that worked to their detriment as well. I mean, having that pressure, you know, hearing the expectations, Michigan State, this is the best roster Tom Izzo has ever had, national championship or bust. They were embracing that mantra. We want to get to a national championship. We want to get Izzo second. And then you had the distraction with the ESPN reports. It was a lot last year. And I think that maybe mentally that hurt this team in some respects.
I I would just say, I think to sum up what you're trying to say, I think Michigan State fans want to see Michigan State play basketball to their potential. And especially with the Syracuse loss, they were not given the opportunity to play to that potential. And that's what upset people. You know, as I said yesterday, if we had lost that game to Syracuse and we had been outplayed on the floor, that would have been one thing. But we were outcoached. And that's not acceptable for a coach of Izzo's caliber. Even against a great coach such as Jim Boeheim, you know, the level to which he was outcoached was absurd in the minds of Michigan State fans.
When it comes to that one area, right, when looking at the whole Ben Carter situation.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
Yep.
I hear you. All right. Well, I feel like there's a lot of we're getting a lot of responses right now at our Facebook page. And Anthony Ianni, former Michigan State men's basketball player, says, come on, Al. We'll be the favorites in the conference next year. Nobody expected us to do anything in 2011, 2012, and now look what happened. Hashtag just saying. I hear you, Ant, but Tom Izzo hasn't won a national championship in 18 years. I believe it when I see it, but right now, again, back-to-back years, first weekend, X's, especially with the roster they had last season, I'll believe it when I see it. Ben says, we were picked to finish fourth in the conference this past season, and we won the regular season. We got this. So I'm hearing a lot of fandom come out. A lot of fandom. The fandom is coming out right now. I want to hear some realism right now because I just think there's an adjustment period. When you lose, you just don't lose two top 20 NBA draft selections and expect, oh, everything's going to be all right. I don't know about that, man. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we got to get to Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. He's going to talk about tonight's LSJ Sports Awards at the Wharton Center. You don't want to miss that. Also, I see two of our callers. We'll take some callers, Jason and Kirk. Hang tight. We'll get to you. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Hump Day. It is May 30th, 2018. It's going to be a rainy one here in mid-Michigan. It was a great start to the day, but rain is expected throughout the afternoon and throughout the evening. So bring that umbrella for anybody out there roaming the Lansing streets and out and about running errands or at work. And again, I also want to know that, hey, have you re-scanned your television? WKAR-TV is at a new frequency. If it's not on your television right now, simply rescan your TV to pick up the new frequency, all right? WKAR-TV is on the air at the new frequency for our reduced coverage area. Again, if you have not done so, rescan your TV. I can't say that enough, all right? We have more information about that on our WKAR.org website. All right, we just wrapped up segment A. I want to make these comments brief from our callers. Again, if you want to call in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Just wrapped up segment A discussing Nick Ward deciding to come back for Michigan State men's basketball for his junior season. We actually have a poll up. I want to go behind the glass right now. Real briefly, we've got Connor Hayes that wants to talk about some results that we have on a Twitter poll right now. Connor, what do we got?
So we asked what Nick Ward's ceiling was since he came back. So we put up top five pick, lottery pick, late first rounder, second rounder, and it's pretty divided right now. There's 17% say he's a top five pick going into next year. 17% say he's a lottery pick. And then it's 33% each for late first round and second round.
Okay, those people are crazy who say top five pick or lottery pick. You're crazy if you're saying top five or lottery pick for Nick Ward. Late first rounder and second rounder are more realistic for next season. And I see it just changed on me. So now it's 10% top five, 10% lottery pick, and now 40-40 split when it comes to late first rounder or second rounder, depending on, you know, what Nick Ward does in his junior campaign. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Thank you for that, Connor. Let's go to line one right now. We got to make it quick. Well, actually, line two. Kirk
from Grand Ledge. Kirk, what's up, my man?
Well, Al, I hate to correct you, but you did not see Thomas Kithier play any basketball last year. He was the kid who was told he couldn't play basketball on the transfer rule.
Oh, you're right.
You saw Foster Lawyer play.
Foster, that's who I'm thinking about. Foster, thank you so much for that correction, Kirk. Yeah, Foster Lawyer is who I'm talking about. Thomas is the whole dramatic MHSAA ruling. Thank you for that, Kirk. Appreciate that correction.
You're welcome. And Nick Ward needs to develop a face-up game. Pure and simple. And I think that's what your other guy was talking about, a 15 to 18 foot jump shot. He needs to have a little bit of a face up game where they have to respect him outside the paint for him to be an any rounder for the NBA. Because as it is right now, I mean, people want to think of him like Zach Randolph. Well, Zach Randolph developed outside jump shots while he was sitting on the bench for Portland. The NBA is not going to be that patient with him unless he winds up with the exact right team, and then he'd be as a second rounder.
Nick Ward, his defense as well is what I'm also looking at, Kirk, as well. He's got to improve defensively too.
Right, and to me, the whole question about what happens with Michigan State next year is going to depend on how they do defensively. Quite frankly, I hope they get away from being the SWAT team or whatever with all the shot blocks, because they got so enamored with the shot block last year that at the second half of the year they got in lots of foul trouble because they were always going for block shots.
And I think that may go out the window now that, you know, let's be real here, Jaren Jackson Jr. was a catalyst when it came to block shots, and now he's gone. So.
And he was the one who got in foul trouble a lot that hurt us a lot.
Uh-huh, for sure. All right, and final question for you, Kirk. What is the ceiling for Nick Ward's draft stock after his junior campaign, you think? Where do you think he has the potential of going? First round?
If he can develop a face-up game to where he can get the ball at 18 foot and knock down a jumper to where if he's about to come out, he's quick enough with handling the ball, he could do some stuff towards the paint and be more dominant that way. And if he develops his feet a little better defensively, I think he's a late first, most likely second rounder, quite frankly. And that also depends on what team he goes to. He has to go to the right team because, you know, I think Nick's an excellent college player.
Right, right.
But as far as the NBA goes, he's still got a lot of work to do, and I'm sure that's what he heard.
Yeah. Draymond Green heard the same thing. All right. Thanks so much, Kirk. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great call. And Ian, you're supposed to be correcting me, man. That's what we pay you for, dude. I said Thomas Kithier that entire segment. Hey, man, come on, dude.
That's my bad. I'll take the cut and the pay on that one.
Yeah, Foster Lawyer is who I'm talking about. If you haven't seen Foster Lawyer play, he is fun to watch, man. He's a firecracker out there. All right, speaking of high school sports, right now what I want to do is go to our guest for today's current sports. His name is Brian Callaway. Haven't had Brian on in a while, but tonight is a big night because the Lansing State Journal will be holding its annual LSJ Sports Awards celebrating local high school sports. It's such a cool event. There's a red carpet, and it's, again, it's like, you know, the Emmys or the Oscars or the Grammys. But for local high school sports, they really do it up. To talk about that is Brian Callaway, who's on the line right now. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Hey, not bad, Al. How are you?
I'm fantastic, brother. So first off, you know, I just want to dive right into it. I know it's taking place tonight at the Wharton Center. What goes into the planning of this for you? I know it's got to be a lot. It seems like a lot, my man.
Yeah, it definitely is a lot. You know, it really starts at the beginning of the school year, and then it's coordinating, you know, our dream team athletes and, you know, other special award winners and things like that, and trying to, you know, get those all together and, you know, make sure those athletes get invited. And then also, you know, kind of planning with special guests as well, too, guest speakers. Like this year, we have Darquez Denard coming to speak, but in the past, you know, we had Kirk Cousins the first year, and last year, Carissa Shields, the boxer as well, too. So trying to find a guest speaker as well, too. And so just coordinating a lot of things with area athletic directors and, you know, trying to make sure to get the word out there and try to get these kids in attendance to, you know, be a part of this special night for high school sports.
Yeah, and I want to talk about how you guys snagged, you know, Darqueze Dennard, who, again, was one of the best defensive players in the nation when he was a corner, of course, for Michigan State University under the leadership of Mark D'Antonio. But, Brian, when talking about the awards themselves, I mean, how many categories are we talking here? And in each category, I mean, how many student-athletes are being nominated, and how does that process work?
Yeah, well, so there's like 41 awards, and so we have a player of the year in every single sport, so boys basketball, girls basketball, boys and girls bowling, wrestling, and all those sports. So it's kind of every athlete is kind of on a level playing field, you know, whether you're a competitive cheerleader or whether you're a football player. I mean, you're all on a level playing field. They're all going to be honored, you know, in receiving the winners of the player of the year will be receiving trophies. So, I mean, just that's kind of, you know, the big process of it, you know, just trying to, make sure to recognize as many athletes as possible. And then obviously we have some special awards that we give out as well, too. So there'll be a comeback player of the year. So someone that's overcome some kind of injury or some kind of ailment and had success on the court or on the field. And there's a courage award for someone that has shown courage and doing something in a sport. And obviously we have a scholar athlete award as well, too, to recognize, you know, someone that does well in the classroom as well as on the playing field. And then we have a couple of other awards, a team of the year, a video of the year. So that's maybe highlight from the high school sports season. And, you know, even our main awards are the male and female athlete of the year as well, too, that are given out to outstanding senior multi-sport athletes here in the Lansing area.
That is great stuff. So I guess a better comparison is it's like the ESPYs, right? But on a high school level, right, Brian?
Exactly. It's like the ESPYs coming up because, you know, these student athletes, you know, get decked out and, you know, break out their suits and dresses and things like that. And, well, they walk the red carpet. They take pictures on the red carpet, you know, before the event. And so the red carpet is going from 7 to 8, and the event starts at 8. So there's a whole hour for, you know, people to kind of mingle on the red carpet, you know, get their pictures taken on a little nice backdrop there. And, you know, just kind of relish it in the evening before the actual award ceremony does get started.
Now, when it comes to the nominations, Brian, I want to focus on a few of the big awards you just mentioned, like male athlete of the year, female athlete of the year, team of the year. Who are the nominees in those categories?
So for the team of the year, a lot of it was based on teams that did well in the state tournament and postseason. So, and the team of the year is actually opened up to a vote among our readers. So the readers actually got to determine from 8 candidates to kind of whittle it down to 4. So the teams in the running are Lansing Christian girls soccer team, which is coming off a state championship last year and is off to another strong season this year and is trying to repeat as a state champion as the state tournament has started this week. You have Blaingsburg girls volleyball, which had its best state tournament run ever this year and finishes the runner-up in Class C. And then we have two girls basketball teams that had a lot of success this year as well, too, when you look at Kiwama Westphalia girls basketball and then the East Lansing girls basketball team. And both of those teams made it to the Final Four and suffered their only loss of the season in the Final Four. So for East Lansing in the Class A state championship game and for Kiwama Westphalia in the Class C semifinal, too, who was the eventual state champion. So those are the candidates for the team of the year. And then male athlete of the year, we have Cal Johnson from Grand Ledge, who's been a strong athlete for them, especially on the football field and baseball field. Mason Klein from Fowler, he has a lot of success in playing basketball, football, and baseball there. And then the other one is actually can't even keep all these candidates straight right now.
Right, I'm sure.
But yeah, there's a third one as well too that's just not coming to my head right at this time. And then for the girls, Maddie Maloney, St. John's. She's a three-sport athlete there, volleyball, basketball, and track. Olivia Tice from Lansing Catholic, and obviously she's had a special career as a runner and track and cross-country, and she's also played a little softball and basketball during her career as well, too. And the other girl is Grace George from DeWitt, who's, you know, done a lot of special things on the volleyball court and the basketball court as well, too. So, I mean, those are just some of the candidates. Oh, and the other boys candidate is Nick Jungle from Alabette, who was an All-State football player, earned All-State honors in basketball as well, too.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you got some amazing candidates there, Brian. And you mentioned how, you know, you had the LSJ readers kind of narrow down the team of the year candidates. Who chooses the final winners? Is that the readers as well, or is that, you know, among you and your staff?
No, the readers actually picked that whole thing. So, I mean, there were 8 teams in the run. there are eight teams in the running for it, and the readers pretty much whittled it down to the four, and then, you know, the top vote getter of those four teams is the team that will be announced as the team of the year tonight. So
that is amazing. Now, Brian, when it comes to your team, I mean, it helps put this whole thing together. I mean, I'm sure it's a collaborative effort amongst how many people. I'm sure Graham Couch probably helps you out with this as well, right?
Yeah, Graham will be one of the presenters tonight at the ceremony, and obviously our executive editor Stephanie Angel is obviously a big part of this process as well too, as well as my supervisor Barry Kill. I mean, I've been working hand to hand with them, you know, especially this last month here, hardcore, and trying to, you know, get this thing to all come together. And then we also have our corporate team that, you know, does the production side of things. So when the people who will be at the event tonight, and you kind of see the nice setup at the Warden Center and the red carpet and the trophies and, you know, all the graphics that you'll see on the screen as well too. I mean, our corporate end, you know, does that part for us as well too, to kind of make it look super fancy at the Warden Center.
Yeah, it really is an amazing event. I got the privilege to check it out last year, and my jaw was really on the floor, Brian. I mean, you guys really do it up. It's a classy event. I mean, you really feel like you are at an award ceremony. I've never been to, like, the Emmys or the Oscars or the ESPYs, but I would imagine it feels a little bit like what I felt last year. All right, Brian? So, again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports 1, where have you been? Because you only got, you know, less than 10 minutes left here in the show. But we're chatting with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer of the Lansing State Journal. Tonight marks the annual LSJ Sports Awards at the Wharton Center. Red carpet starts at 7. Award show starts at 8 p.m. Brian, is it too late for the public to buy tickets or not?
No, it's not too late. I mean, we'll actually be tickets will be on sale at the door. So for people who don't have tickets and are interested in going and maybe listening to what Darquez Dennard might have to say and his message to the student-athletes, you can buy tickets at the door as well. And even any student-athlete that is a part of our dream team that's supposed to be being honored tonight that might not have RSVP'd for the event, I mean, they can also still attend as well, too, and they just need to show up, and they will get taken care of as well, too. So, yeah, it's definitely not too late, and there's still tickets available for people to come and enjoy the show tonight.
That's great stuff. And what went into snagging Darquez Dennard, Brian?
No, it's just that's something that's kind of handled a little bit above me. I mean, I know that our end, we give a list of maybe people that we would like to potentially bring as a speaker. And one of the big things for us is, you know, trying to find someone that has a message that might appeal to the student athletes and someone that, you know, an athlete that they might, you know, be familiar with and someone that they might be interested in hearing talk. So obviously Darquez Dennard is very familiar athlete around here with his Michigan State ties, and now he's in the NFL as well too, and he's doing well in the NFL, and he's coming off his best season as a pro as well too. So I mean, I think that is something that will resonate with people as well too, you know, being able to hear from someone that was such a big part of, you know, that Michigan State team that kind of went to the Rose Bowl and had a lot of success, you know, under Coach D'Antonio.
Yeah, you know what I love about Dennard's story, Brian, is that, I mean, we're talking about a two-star recruit coming out of high school, right? I mean, he was selected like the 166th or something like that wide receiver in the nation back in 2010. Then he goes on and, you know, ends up landing at Michigan State and becoming the best corner in the game collegiately at MSU. And then, again, has gone on to do some great things as a corner for the Cincinnati Bengals. But, you know, it's like that, you know, it's still a line from Drake, you know, started from the bottom and now he's here, right? I mean, working his way into that kind of stardom. It's amazing.
It is, and actually, I mean, when you look at his story, you talked about him having two stars. I mean, he didn't even get those stars until after he committed to Michigan State. And,
right.
You know, honestly,
yeah.
You know that he was from a town that had, like, you know, one blinking light, and that was it. I mean, so he was a guy that was severely under-recruited, and I think the only way he got noticed was when he went up against Keith Mumphrey's team one. I think it was his final high school regular season game. He
yep.
faced Keith Mumphrey. And that's how, you know, he caught the eye of Michigan State. And obviously, you know, they offered him, and then he decided to go there. And, you know, he ended up getting a couple stars after that. And, you know, obviously, you know, so many of those guys, you know, that have entered that Michigan State football program have always talked about, you know, having that chip on their shoulders. You know, I mean, you know that as well as anyone else from, you know, kind of being around practices and things like that and having that edge about them. And, you know, Darquez is one of those guys that, you know, exemplified that. And it got him to where he's at right now. I mean, being a – you know, like you said, you know, the best cornerback his senior year, you know, being drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, and, you know, now playing in the NFL.
What a story. I'm sure that's going to resonate with the many student-athletes that will be attending tonight again. Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, the LSJ Sports Awards tonight at the Wharton. Brian, have fun. I know you will, my man.
I will, man.
All right, Brian Callaway, that's great stuff. I wish they had that. You know, I say this every year, Ian. I wish they had, you know, a sports award show back in Detroit when I was in high school. That would have been great, man. Just to, you know, walk in the red carpet in your suit and your tie, and that's funky fresh, man. I love that. Great night for sure.
Yeah, man, the local sports awards are always the best because it feels like family, you know? Everybody knows everybody. It's not just a bunch of strangers in the audience like a huge award show would be. So it feels a lot more personal that way, and it's definitely more special for the kids.
Yeah, and big shout out to Dark Wesdenaar. But yeah, that's how Dark Wesdenaar got discovered. Yeah, I'm glad that Brian brought that up. He was going against Keith Mumphrey, and Keith Mumphrey was being recruited by Michigan State, and they're watching Dark Wesdenaar just basically put on a show, and they're like, oh my gosh, who is this kid? And he ends up, you know, getting an offer from Michigan State, goes to Michigan State and becomes the cornerback of the year, his senior season, and goes on, gets drafted in the first round. It's an amazing story. He's going to have a great message, and I'm pretty sure he's going to inspire a lot of young student athletes tonight. All right. Well, we have, 3 minutes left here? Well, actually, 2 minutes now. Do we have him on line one right now? We have to make it brief. Jason, I want you to make it quick, man. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I know you just had one incredible weekend, brother. Jason is on line one, briefly chiming in. Jason, what's up?
All right. No, well, like I told you, I think Nick is going to come back. He is, so we're going to be set. But, yes, I had an amazing weekend down in Owosso, Oklahoma with the Folds of Honor Foundation. Got to golf with John Daly, Fred Funk, Kevin Sorbo, Ryan Merriman, John Rich from Big and Rich, Mark Wills, former Carpentry artist, 1986 Super Bowl.
Wow.
I would say he was the MVP, but and hung out with him at the after party, and Mr. Jim McMahon.
Gotcha.
NHL, former NHL goalie Graham Fuhrer, former Detroit Tiger Brad Penny, and then in my playing group on Monday, I had none other than Oklahoma State Cowboy, former baseball player with the Chicago White Sox, New York Mets, New York Yankees, and former White Sox manager Robin Ventura.
That's amazing. Well, Jason, you got to call back because I got a few questions for you when it comes to this, because you were chosen to golf with these amazing individuals, to rub elbows with these amazing cats who have done some amazing things in the world of sports and beyond.
And why don't we give me a call after the show and we'll set something up? Maybe I can come in tomorrow and be on air with you about it.
Let's do it, man. I think it'd be great to tell that story because I don't think a lot of our listeners know it. All right. So,
okay.
Jason,
sounds
we'll be
good.
In touch, brother. Until then, we've got 20 seconds left, and I'll use those 20 seconds by saying thank you for tuning into this Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Much love to Brian Callaway for coming on. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.